Accession number 18727, Reel 9.
Okay, so we're on Owen Butcher tape 9. Owen, we were just on the last side of that, we were talking about the Aller and going back over what happened on the crossing of the Aller. And you've now had a bit of thought, pardon me, a bit of thought about crossing. Excuse me. And if you could just go over what you've got there on that crossing of the Aller, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We then moved off for the assault cross onto the River Aller. Moved off at 2200 hours across country, pitch dark. The river was about 100 yards wide. D Company had a disaster when crossing. 13 were drowned. A lot of opposition from the Hungarians was there. It was a question of advancing all the time now against stiff opposition, and there are quite a few casualties there. And then my next bit goes on to Rottenburg.
That's right. Yeah, but that's that's a crossing of the Aller, Owen. Around there, the stiff fighting there was. I mean, there were some Hungarians you mentioned.
Yeah.
And there is a story again in the book that they said that when they were captured, some of those Hungarians, they said, "Ah, yes, but we weren't really trying," or something. Didn't
they? Right. Yeah.
Something like that was said, yeah. Wasn't it? Because they said we're such good shots that if we were trying to kill people, we would kill them.
That's
they
right.
were saying they were bragging a bit, weren't they? But in fact, you had some casualties there, didn't you?
I think there was about 6 killed and 20 wounded, and yet they weren't.
So and then when they were captured, they said they weren't really trying.
No, they were firing blanks.
Yeah, so to listen to them, they were.
Yeah.
But there were also some German soldiers around there, weren't there?
There was, yeah.
And they were naval people or something.
Yeah, I think they were called the 2nd Marine Regiment, and they were just German fanatics.
Yeah. Because they were just, I suppose, they were just trying anything they could do then to hold up our advance, you know, because the Germans felt they had these super weapons and things coming.
That's
on,
right.
Didn't they?
Yeah, nothing so materialised. They hadn't got the fuel anyhow.
Yeah, yeah. So from once you crossed the river, the Aller, there was some, there was a lot of village fighting going through German farmland and so on, wasn't there?
That's correct, yeah.
Does that ring any bells at all, going through any of those places, or...?
No, those just small villages with pockets of resistance. That was
That's right. Until you finished, there was another place you've got some memories about there.
Yeah,
late in the war.
Yeah, that was the 24th of April, which is a place called Rottenburg. And that was supposed to be in a defensive role, and there was a railway station, wooded land surrounding it, and the Germans were, because there was an airfield not far away, and it was said that there were Germans in that area, in the wooded land. And this is a story I have. I was sent with Joe Goddard to D Company, where we went forward observing for enemy activity in our position. We could see into the wooded area. Although we could see nothing, we could hear noises from the woods. We reported this to D Company HQ, who decided to send out a patrol, which we were to join under Lieutenant Miles. Advancing through the woods, we were ambushed and was badly shot up. Lieutenant Miles was wounded, and Joe Goddard was missing, later to be found killed. the remnants of us found our way back to D Company. And that was the end of the story there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so because this is now April the 24th, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the war finished April the 8th, was VE Day, I think. But I think that armistice was signed about the 5th of April.
About
the
4th or 5th.
5th of May, yeah. Something like that, wasn't it? So it's April, you were there, German village, and then you finished up the war whereabouts?
In Hamburg.
In Hamburg.
In Hamburg, yeah.
Can you remember going into Hamburg, Owen?
Yeah. By then, everything kept changing, and even rumours started to develop then. And we could see Hamburg about 15 miles away. Later we heard there was going to be no firing on either side. We saw white tapes going up later. We moved forward again on transport. And we learned that Hamburg had surrendered. There were inmates from a concentration camp wandering around. But we rested that night early, and then next morning moved forward again on various vehicles of the battalion and any other regiment what was close by. We arrived in the outskirts of Hamburg and we went through the deserted streets. Apart from the police, the local police, who were all on duty, we could see the curtains opening as people were gazing through the curtains. And that's all there was. There was nothing else. One of the companies went forward of Hamburg, but there was no opposition and nothing.
The police were lined up, did you say, then?
They were lined up at regular intervals, looking very smart, you know.
Were they looking smarter than you, I suppose?
Well, they? Yeah, they got their white coats on, you know. Saluted as the column passed.
Really?
Each one.
Incredible. And what was Hamburg like as you went
through it? Well, it was devastated. It had a bombing raid on it. Hamburg had.
It had been, yes, by the RAF.
By the RAF. Yeah, it was devastated. Mm. There wasn't many civilians about. Whether they were down cellars or not. There was a few in the houses, but a lot of the houses were just rubble. Yeah. Miles and miles of rubble.
But they didn't greet you with any sign of hatred or anything?
No, none whatsoever. No animosity or nothing like that. No.
I guess by then they'd resigned to the fact that the war was lost anyway.
That was lost.
They could see it all.
That was it, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Was there any thoughts then of the Germans, any German thoughts at that stage that, well, all right, now we'd better turn on the Russians? Or did you have any feelings that
no,
the Germans...
No, I didn't have any feelings at all.
No.
No. For our part, we thought, this is it.
Finished.
Yeah.
I mean, you must have felt, when that news came through, I mean, you must have known that you were getting close to the end
right.
of it anyway, but when that actual news came through, how did you feel then?
The first thing I thought of, I've been with Joe a long time.
Joe Settery.
With Joe Goddard. A long time. And he's gone, and now the war's over. And he died the week before.
Now, just tell me again, who was Joe Goddard?
He was a sniper. He was a fellow sniper.
So now, let me just recap, because at this stage, you of the eight snipers...
Yeah, and there was only two of the original... who were there from start to finish. It was Paul Farrow and myself. He was an old soldier, Paul Farrow. Mm. But of the other six, they'd gone away and been replaced.
Yeah.
And the replacements had gone as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Goddard had gone.
Yeah.
He's a replacement.
Yeah.
You know, called up, joined the battalion as a reinforcement.
Yeah.
And because he's half decent shot, he came as a sniper.
So you came through. Now you came through this because it's incredible, really.
Yeah.
That you came through from start to finish, from June the 26th about, through to the end of the war,
right,
May
the
8th.
Yeah.
You were in the front line infantry battalion all
that
time, which is dangerous enough.
That's right.
But to add to that, you were a sniper, which is
volunteer for the worst. Volunteer for the worst job in the British Army.
Yeah.
And I was still only 19.
At the end of the war.
At the end of the war.
And as I get it, and as I understand it, you didn't have a scratch.
No, nothing. Yeah, nothing.
You had one or two near shaves.
Yeah, and a few chillblains, but apart from that,
And people died that you were with and
that's right.
Around.
Yeah, and got wounded, badly wounded, some of them.
Yeah, yeah. So you must think yourself a very lucky man
to
come out of that like that.
And as Colonel Setry says to me now, we're survivors, he says. We're survivors.
Yes, because Major Setry then subsequently became Lieutenant Colonel Joe Setry, didn't
That's
he?
That's right, yeah.
As a regular soldier, stayed in
36 years,
yeah.
He tells me.
Yeah.
I said to him, you must like it. You must have liked it.
Do you like it, yeah. So then that's the end of the war, Hamburg. What, celebrations then?
Yeah, there was a bit of a celebration in Hamburg because in the dock area there was a lot of drink found down in the dock area.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of bottles of drink found down there. I mean, the object was, you know, the officers' mess thought they was going to have them all, but they didn't.
Mm.
See?
The men got hold of some.
Oh yeah, there was bottles of White Horse, Blackberry brandy, and names I'd never heard of, but Germans had it.
Yeah.
You know, with British labels on.
Oh, maybe they'd had it before the war.
Had it before the war.
Mm.
And there was loads of drink down there.
Yeah.
And we only stayed there a few days, and then we made our way down to the Ruhr on transport.
Yeah.
And we went into a... first of all, went down into Essen, which had devastated there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a barracks in Essen.
Mm.
And stayed about 3 or 4 days in the barracks, and then the battalion broke up into various groups, and HQ company went to a place called Speldorf, in between Mülheim and Duisburg. I believe two of the companies went into Oberhausen.
Yeah,
you know,
some of them did, I know.
Yeah, and but I stayed in Speldorf
because at the end of the war, of course, the war was still going on in the Far East, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
So there must have been some thought somewhere along the line that, well, maybe we've got to go over there.
That was a possibility, yeah.
Was it being rumoured at all? Was it being...
Yeah, you know. And then as time got on a little bit,
yeah,
we thought, no, we don't think so.
Yeah. The Americans dropped the bombs over there, and that was the end of that.
That was the end of that one in August, wasn't it? You know.
So when you then got demobbed after the war...
Yeah, I got demobbed after the war. Came back home, didn't settle very well. Didn't settle very well for a time. Put in for... What did I try to do first? Oh, I joined the Navy first.
What Merchant Navy?
Royal Navy.
You came out of the Army?
Yeah.
And then joined the Royal Navy?
Yeah, came out of the Navy as a sniper. Went.
Came out of the Navy as a sniper?
Came out of the Army
as a
sniper.
Yeah.
Joined the Navy, got me... went to me medical, got allotted to go to HMS Excalibur. I was going in as an electrician's mate.
Oh, right.
But I didn't go as far as that. I met my wife then.
Yeah.
And I had my paper, I had everything. I had my railway warrant.
Yeah.
I never went.
Right.
I never went.
Well, you hadn't signed on then?
I joined and had my medical and passed my tests and had my railway warrant come, papers to report to HMS Excalibur.
But you could get out of it, that's
the Yeah, if you didn't reply to
a
certain amount of time.
Yes.
I think they gave me a week to reply.
I see.
got married. Been married a little while. Just like thought about going to Australia.
What, to immigrate?
No, as in the army.
Oh. What, joined the Australian army?
Yeah. 6 years. 6 years going as private, like, you know. Mm. And we'd have gone, but you had to find somebody to sponsor your wife. Mm. There was no married quarters, see. Mm. Mm. So I put the kibosh on that.
Yeah.
So after then I settled down, like, you know.
But settled down here in the UK.
That's right, yeah.
Back in Witten, which is where you were born.
Yeah, got married 1949, so been married 50 years this year.
Family?
Two boys, one 46 and one 49.
And grandchildren?
Only one.
One granddaughter or?
Grandson.
Grandson.
Yeah, and he's only 5 and a half.
Yep. What about your working life all that time? What did you do?
Oh, in between, I had a couple of... I haven't had many jobs. I done a bit in the building trade for a while. Then I went to a concrete factory for about 10 years.
Yeah.
Then I went to Criddles, you know, window.
Windows, yeah.
For about 30 years.
Didn't you say you were... Your dad or your mum was there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was different parts of the company, like, yeah. And so in all I haven't had many jobs.
No.
And then I finished work. I got made redundant when I got 9 months to do.
9 months to your 65th birthday?
Yeah.
Right.
So they asked for volunteers, I volunteered, and yeah. Of course first thing they say, they won't let you go. You only got 9 months to do.
Yeah. They well, did.
That's about the only favour they ever did me.
So you got redundancy pay?
Yeah, I got a bit. And yeah. But at the same time, I signed on straight away, Bob.
Yeah.
So I kept reporting to the unemployment people.
Sure.
And I had another list. I had a list of forms from my previous employment to say that I'd keep replying for a job.
Yeah.
I kept replying. Applying for a job with them, see, and they kept sending me back every
too
2 weeks.
Too old, they said.
Yeah, too old.
Yeah.
Just to prove that I was applying for a job.
Yeah.
But anyhow, they chucked it all out, so they weren't going to pay me. And so I appealed against it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't let go because I'd been signing on, see.
Yeah.
And about 2 weeks after I was 65, they told me to go to Chelmsford as. And I got to go to the job centre there, and I got to meet somebody, some lady up there, and she was going to send me for retraining.
Oh, right.
And I'd already retired and got my pension book. So yeah. I put my pension book on the table. I said, look, I said, it's all these lazy buggers walking about here without jobs.
Yeah.
I said, I'm retired, got a pension book.
Yeah.
I said, you want to retrain me? But in the end, they paid me the back what I'd signed on for the 9 months.
Sure.
And of course I was able to claim for the wife as well. So
yeah.
I had about 11 gyros come. they couldn't send me one, that's too easy,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For, you know, them.
Yeah.
But they coughed up, but it was only because I persisted.
No, that's good. The thing that strikes me about talking to you is that all that time in the forces doing what you were doing, and you know, people talk in different ways, don't they? Some talk in one way, others talk in other ways. There's absolutely no glorification, is there?
No.
You must have been in situations, extremely dangerous situations every day, you know, running, you know, that close to being killed every day. But you haven't spoken about anything like that, and about, you know, the times that you must have had people in your sights and you pulled the trigger, and it must have been horrendous to have done those things.
Yeah, you just do this. I mean, I never talk. I mean, apart from you, I mean, I never, nothing with me. And that's how I've always been.
Yeah.
I mean, some people go down the pub and come out with a load of bullshit, don't they?
That's right.
You do, and I stand and listen, or I either listen or walk away.
Yeah.
You know, more often than not, I just walk away, and I think myself, I've seen more angry men on a church parade, you know.
Well, because,
and you listen to these people, you know.
Yeah. because I think it's something like 1 in 10, isn't it, soldiers? Yeah. It's only 1 in 10 that have actually been there, yeah, done it sharp end of the thing.
That's right, unless you've been in the, yeah, the infantry and been in a rifle company. Mm. That's what it's all about. But
yeah,
the real ones, the lowest paid, the real ones.
Okay, so now you, how old are you now, Owen?
Well, I should be 74 this year, mate.
74 this year.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for doing
that. It's all right, mate.
We'll give it to the people there.
Yeah.
And they'll send you some copies. And as I say, thank you very much. I might come back to you at some stage for anything else you might think about to add to it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we covered it all.
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
All right.